Get Ready to Rock Radio.
And we're saying hello here from Get Ready to Rock, a guy who we've wanted to track down for ages, really. A legend in his own lifetime, and it's hello to David Coverdale.
How are you doing, David?
Oh, hello, David.
Are you ready to rock, dear?
Yes, we are ready to rock, I think. We started off with Best Years, which is the lead track on the brand new Made in Japan album. Now, David, did you ever expect that a fresh-faced lad, although you were in your early 20s, I have to say, from the northeast of England would get to this position in 2013? I mean, you've worked with some of the biggest names in rock. I mean, when you started out, I mean, you probably get asked this a lot, and it may be a bit cliche, but it was a small town, Saltburn, where you come from.
Yeah.
What was the sort of music scene? And I mean, I take it you had a local record shop that you used to go into. And
well, actually, the band I was with when I got the job with Purple had two guys in the band, the guitarist and the percussionist, actually had their own record shops. So we got, you know, the pick of stuff. We'd rehearse in a guy, the guitarist's record shop was called Fernley's. And we'd rehearse. I mean, I put some of the demos on Whitesnake.com a year or two ago. We'd rehearse in this long corridor of which surrounded by vinyl music. I mean, blissful to be in there. And if we, you know, we'd look through these and pick a Moby Grape song, you know, Can't Be So Bad, or Hey Grandma, you know, Buffalo Springfield. We would play progressive rock stroke soul. The North was a huge hotbed of soul music. If anything, that was the underground music. And underneath that was progressive, like Moby Grape, as I say, Buffalo Springfield, Steppenwolf, you know, that kind of thing. But we would also take, like, Martha Reeves and the Vandellas dancing in the street and funk them up the way Sly and the Family Stone may have done, you know. So that was my background. When I joined Deep Purple, my most played records was Stevie Wonder, Music From My Mind, Sly Stone, There's a Riot Going On, and Donny Hathaway Live.
Where did you go to see bands play?
Red Car Jazz Club.
Oh, in the jazz clubs, right.
Yeah, the local group I was with, we had the Saturday night residency, which was a dance, and the Sunday night that put seats in, 600 to 800 people. I saw The Who there, Purple, you know, Fleetwood Mac. Are you kidding? A lot of them I opened for. I opened for Fleetwood Mac at the height of a British summer. This would be 60s, you know, 68 maybe, 60, I don't know. And they were at that, Danny Kirwan, Jeremy Spencer, they were at the height of their early blues period, and I'm like the world's biggest Peter Green fan. And I opened for them. We did like a 40-minute set, and it was one of those really incredibly hot summer heat wave. And I came off gasping for breath, and Fleetwood Mac went on after me, and they had to pull the plug on them after 3 hours. And I went, that's what separates the men from the boys. It was a great learning lesson. That was the center of Kirk Levington Country Club, run by a friend of mine called John McCoy.
Great stuff. Now, let's fast forward then about 40 years. And, I mean...
I'm dizzy.
Yes. Now, we're talking actually in mid-March 2013. And, of course, we're looking ahead to the May tour with Journey, an arena tour. Now, what's your take on the current scene, really? I mean, before the interview started, we chatted a little about embracing the new technology and everything. But how easy is it for Whitesnake economically these days to make things work?
We don't actually go looking for work. Work apparently comes to us once our agent, the fabulous Rod McSween, puts the word out that we're planning to tour. We're very, very blessed there. But, you know, this package thing is really, we went out with co-headlined with Def Leppard in 2008, and we'd guested Blackstone Cherry. In those days, what I would do would call Jeff Barton up at Classic Rock and go, who won your best new rock band? And then invite those guys to tour with us in the UK. And that's what we did with Joe and I talked about it, and it was a great ticket for people. We had fantastic sellout houses. It was nights to remember wherever we went, and we sold out every show we did and added four more. You know, it was amazing. But what it was really evident, David, was that it was fantastic value for money. If you can keep a reasonable ticket price, you got three and a half hours or something. You got Thunder of Reform for this. Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
you know, Danny and Luke think I'm their illegitimate father. Come on, how old are these guys? But, you know, we've been actively looking for that kind of package again with a band that has, you know, a beautiful catalogue of songs like Def Leppard. And who better than Journey? Are you kidding me? I've known these guys for years. Amazing band. I took Neil and Jonathan out as Bad English on my Slip of the Tongue American tour back in 1990. Super guys. It should be fantastic.
Yeah. How do you reconcile, though, David, and this, I know this puts a slightly negative slant on it, but those fans who just want to come and hear Whitesnake, because you've got such a great back catalogue.
I don't know. I can't turn around and dictate to people. I just want them in there. You know, it's entirely up to them as individuals, you know. But if I was them, I'd just sit back, stand up, whatever, and just enjoy the ride. Yeah, I mean, that was the thing with Def Leppard. You know, Joe said coming on after us was like coming on a 1-0, a goal down. You know, so we were inspired. The competition was healthy and savory. So, and that's it. And everybody benefited. Christ almighty, David, even the crews got on well together. You know,
so
we've actually got four shows with Def Leppard as well. Journey and I go to two German festivals from the UK. And then I do a couple of shows under my own steam, and then Def Leppard and I hook up for Hellfest in France, and four amazing shows, festivals in Spain, which have just come out of the woodwork now. You know, I haven't been able to get to Spain for 5 or 6 years because of their really, really challenging economic circumstances.
Yes. Now, I take it will you be taking turns with Journey as headliners, effectively?
Look, it's the last thing on my mind. All I'm bothered about is putting great shows on. I don't care if Thunder closed the show. It's got nothing to do with ego or whatever. It's just an incredibly, you know, we've got, it's basically for us, we're continuing to Forevermore tour. I'm just blessed, you know, that I'm still being able to do this stuff.
So you will be doing, you know, for people who want to know this, you'll be doing a full set.
Of course.
Great stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what people want to hear, isn't it? Because sometimes, David, with these packages, you feel a little bit short-changed.
My first show where I saw Jimi Hendrix when I was 15 at Newcastle City Hall, there was like 8 bands on, you know, and you got a couple of hits, and that was your lot. And that included Pink Floyd.
Yes, those were the days. Let's have another track from the brand new album. And it's a classic too. This is Fool for Your Loving.